Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good. And let us sing of your majesty all the days of our lives. Lord, guide us in this study this morning. Guide us in your word that is life-giving. Speak to us. Speak through me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a seat. Grace, mercy, and peace are to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as I've mentioned before, I love just going outside. And especially on a dark night, maybe not in Mankato, but you know, maybe it's out on the farm and just kind of looking up and seeing the stars. Never seen them that bright, but isn't it amazing when you're just out there and it's kind of, you know, no light, no clouds, and you look up and you see the heavens, the handiwork of God. I don't know about you, but you kind of feel small. Kind of feel small and insignificant compared to a God that created all of that. A God who brought all of this into being by the words of his mouth. You know, growing up in Houston, I loved taking those kind of days with the family to go down to the Johnson Space Center. It was great, you know, outside. They had kind of rocket row, and they had all the kind of rockets and all the stuff out there, and you could look at the size of them and just kind of be blown away by, yeah, you would put a little capsule on top of that, and they would just, you know, blast off into the outer space. And then you kind of go inside, and they had the simulators, and I remember trying to land the shuttle on the runway as kind of, you know, as you're coming back, and then laying on your back and trying to put stuff in the right holes and pull the right levers as a sign of just kind of, you know, if something went wrong out in outer space, all of that. And then even the tanks, the swimming pools, and you could watch the astronauts train. It was just great. I remember leaving there all the time going, you know, as a younger kid, I want to be an astronaut. I want to go into the final frontier. I want to, you know, be up in the heavens. It wouldn't just be a job, but it would be, wow, seeing God and his work, and just amazing. You know, David didn't have any of that. David didn't have a telescope, and surely not something like the Hubble telescope out there sending back pictures. But when he was on probably his roof and not looking down, getting in trouble, but rather looking up, he sees the handiwork of God. And he's blown away by it. And he writes psalms of it. Psalm 8. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And so I just want to take a couple minutes and just kind of, you know, look at a couple aspects of creation. And I can't take credit for all of the kind of the numbers. I found this, and I remember the first time I heard it, I was blown away by it. And so I hope it kind of does the same for you as it did for me. And maybe you've even heard it. Most of these numbers come from Louis Giglio. He's kind of a founder of Passion and the Passion Conference, and maybe you've heard of Passion Worship Music and some of that. And so he put this together, and I'm going to use some of it. And he takes four stars. Takes four stars to kind of help us. The first one we know well, the sun. You know, the only star within our solar system, 93 million miles away, burning at 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Light to travel from the sun about 8 minutes because of the great distance. So the light coming through those windows is about 8 minutes old as it comes from the sun. And if we were, and I love this, I asked Nick if he had a golf ball to use, and he said, what color? And I said, if you got one joking with the world on it, it would be perfect. And sure enough, here we got one with the world on it. So if you were to shrink the earth down to the size of a golf ball, the sun would be about 15 feet in diameter. Just a quick, you know, stepping it off earlier from about this corner of the altar area to this corner. And here's the sun. Or here's the earth in comparison. How big the sun is. 960,000 Earths would fit in the sun. It's about enough golf balls to fill that school bus. I don't know about you, but that's pretty amazing in my mind, just how big that is compared to the Earth, which, you know, until kind of I heard some of these numbers, I thought the Earth was large. But when you compare that to the sun, it seems pretty small. But we can go from there and we get even bigger. So another sun, another star, Betelgeuse, or if you're from the 80s like me, Betelgeuse, better name for it. It's 427 light years away. I think that's 5.88 trillion miles. We're getting out into the big, big numbers. But it's big. It's big. It's two times, not even two times the sun, but two times the Earth's orbit around the sun. That's how big it is. That's how big this star is. And again, if we were to shrink the Earth down into the size of a golf ball, how would that compare? If the Earth was a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the size of six, not just one, but six Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other. Just think if you went up to the top. I've never been in it, but I've been in some tall buildings and on their observation decks and looked down, and people look small. But let's now put six of these on top of each other, and you look down, find the golf ball. I know North America is the purple. If you can see the purple up here from where you're sitting, and then Minnesota, then St. Peter, and then you in a small little church here, and just compare. Isn't God amazing? And he's made all of this. How many Earths would fit? That's a superdome in New Orleans. I don't know about the old, what? Oh, now I used to know the dome up here. What's it called? Metrodome. Yes, Metrodome or the Astrodome in Houston, but the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, which I think has got its name changed now, it would fill 3,000 times. Not just once, but 3,000 times full of golf balls to equal the size of that star. Isn't God amazing? And it gets even better. Musifi, or Herschel's Garnet Star in this solar system, it's the bright one up there on the top. Musifi is so large that if you would have to go out to California, and hopefully on a bright day like this, I went out there and it was covered in fog, but if you were out there on a bright day like this, the Golden Gate Bridge, and you'd have to take two of them, put them down to each other, and then put your golf ball out there to find how big it is and how it compares. How many Earths fit in there? 2.7 quadrillion. I mean, we're getting better, bigger than the debt now. You know, we're getting way out there. Quadrillions of Earths would fit into Musifi. If we were to go back, if we were to kind of take this into seconds, a million seconds is about 8 minutes, or no, 8 days ago, sorry, 8 days ago. Now I'm getting my numbers mixed up. I think it's 12. Anyway, it's a couple days. You go back to now a million to billions, it's about 31 years ago. Just see how much more. If you go all the way, skipping over trillions and go to quadrillions, you would be in about 300 million BC. If that's seconds, I mean, that's how big these are. These numbers, they don't even compute. They're so big. 2.7 quadrillion Earths fit into Musifi. I hope you feel how awesome and how big God is by this. And that's not even the largest. Canis Majoris. It's a red hypergiant star. It's the largest star that we have found so far. My guess is there's stuff bigger than out there than Canis Majoris out there. Does anybody know Latin? What does that say? What's the name? Yeah, I saw it. Big dog. It is the big dog star. This is the biggest one we know. Canis Majoris. How big is it? First, the golf ball. You have to go all the way atop to Mount Everest. 6 miles above sea level. and put your golf ball down on the ground and then see it. And that's the comparison of Earth to Canis Majoris. How many golf balls would fit? I had to put this one up there, Texas, you know, just to show you. And I had to put the map up there to show you just how big Texas is. It would fill Texas, not just one layer deep, 22 inches. All of Texas. Now you go find your one golf ball, find North America on it, find, you know, St. Peter, find you in this church here, and then compare the two. It's just so amazing. And that's why David, and we can say it with him as well. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemies. When I look at the heavens, your work, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, the Lord has done all of this. It's just so amazing. But even David, as he kind of goes through this, he's kind of asking some questions. Okay, if God is this great and God can speak a star into existence, that if we take the earth, all of that, 22 inches worth of golf balls over the whole state of Texas, does he care about us? Does he care about us? If he's that large to make stuff that big, what about me? And I think David even answers that in these Psalms. He's talking about the handiwork, but yet he uses us. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes. Out of our mouths, we speak the praise and glory of God. I know I've shared a little bit about this, but I feel that I am a total representation of this. Out of the weakness, out of the mouths of babies, because I know I said this before. Go back, and when we had those first conversations, even before, I think I got a couple scholarships out of the Lutheran high school I went on to be a pastor, you know, go to Concordia, be a pastor, and kind of joked about that, me and my mom. I don't like to write. I'm never going to be a pastor. And then just kind of, you know, going and doing this, and I remember my first sermon and kind of going, oh, I'm so scared, because, you know, I was at my home church, and it was Christmas Day, and usually there's about, you know, 15,000 to 1,500 on Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day is 50 to 100 because of all the presents being opened and all that. But that day there was about 350 people in there for my first sermon, and there I had it all written out, ready to go on the pulpit, you know, hands gripped, because I'm tired and I forget to turn the first page after I got through it. And I'm like, oh, well, God, okay, let's go. And didn't use notes after that, and that's kind of where that all came from. But it's my weakness. It's not me. Yes, I am the vessel that God uses, and yes, you have to prepare. And no, I don't get up here, though it might sound like it some days. I prepare these sermons because I want God to speak through this and all of that, but God can use me. And if he can use me in not wanting to write, I did. Oh, here's the other one. I did drop out of speech class at A&M and went to the community college to take that because I didn't want to speak in front of anybody. All of that, if God can use that, the weakness, he can use you. And he does use you. He does use you. And maybe it's not the same thing. Maybe you're never going to stand up here as a pastor in front of people, but he uses you at the water cooler. He uses you as you go out to dinner today and the waitress is there needing someone to say, hey, there's an answer out there. He uses you as you speak the truth of him. But even then, you have to ask, does he care about me? Sure, he uses me. I have a truck out there in the parking lot that I use. I like it, and if it got wrecked, I would be disappointed and all of that, and it would cost a lot of money to replace and all of that. But if it did go away, it goes away. Is that how God feels about us? He uses us while we're here to praise him, and then he gets his praise, and then he moves on. What about me? What about you, someone who falls short? Someone who doesn't live up to his promises, doesn't live up to his commands for your life, does he still love you? And that's where David says, what is man that you are mindful of him? and the Son of Man that you care for him. You have made him a little bit lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. The answer is yes. He cares about you as he has given you dominion, as he has given you glory. But it's even bigger than that. Using Jesus' own words, as he, you know, on the road to Emmaus and other places, he says all scripture is written about him. And so using that hermeneutic, that way to study the scriptures, we go back to this. Yes, it's written about David. Yes, it's written about you, but there's something even greater than that, that this is written about Jesus. We want to know if Jesus loves us here, that he was formed in your flesh, that he, the God of the universe that made Canis Majoris and the billions of other stars out there, says, I want to be one of them. I want to take on their flesh and not just to come and visit, to go and die. To go and die for them so that I can have a relationship with them. You know, it's great to have a God that can speak and universes appear. It's great that God can speak and the earth is filled, but if we just had a God that was powerful like that, then it's scary because we don't follow his ways. I fall short. I'm sure you would say you do too. But we have a God who took on flesh, a God who came to save us. And so, yes, he created the universe out there and all the billions of stars, but he came to save you. He died for you so that you would have life. And so now we go forth, the weak ones, the ones who the world says, oh, you're old-fashioned and closed-minded and all of this other stuff. We who are despised go out, and what do? We proclaim, oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. He loves you. He cares for you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have created us, that you made us, that you